Hi, everybody. Come on in. Time for another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. Telling somebody the other day, this is the beginning of the busiest 3 weeks of my year. So I'm just trying to keep all the balls juggling in the air until we get close to Thanksgiving and we can breathe a sigh of relief for a couple of days and then get back going again, you know? You think about it, we've had field hockey conference tournaments this week. We've had volleyball wrap up their regular season. Obviously, football is all the rage and all the talk with the high school playoffs. We'll know in a little bit over a week who's in and who's out, and we'll get into all that in just a few minutes and preview Week 10. We had Atlantic 10 Women's Basketball Media Day on Tuesday at the Richmond Marriott. We were able to get to talk to 13 of the league's 14 coaches. I got an email the 14th. I didn't want her to miss her flight back home. It just ran out of time, but really had a lot of fun on Tuesday down there talking with Beth O'Boyle at VCU and Michael Schaefer at Richmond, both very excited about the season. And starting on Saturday night, we will begin our 14 teams in 14 days previews once a day on our special Atlantic 10 website, which is going to be hooked up on RVASportsNetwork.com and our other websites. We'll have a link. You can go to it. We're going to preview all 14 of the teams in Atlantic 10 women's basketball to get you ready for the season, which starts, if you can believe it, 2 weeks from tomorrow, 2 weeks from Friday, folks. College basketball is here, both men and women. And obviously, we keep you posted on men's basketball, but we've had a wonderful working relationship with the Atlantic 10 now. It's our fourth season working with them, and we look forward to covering all the teams all the way down to the Coliseum when the 2017 Atlantic 10 Women's Basketball Tournament returns to the Coliseum. Bit of a different format this year. Not all 14 teams will make it to Richmond. They've enhanced the tournament format, and I like what they've done. What they're going to do is, if you finish number one or number two in the league, you get a bye to Richmond. You'll wait for the quarterfinals. If you are number three through number eight, you will get to host a first-round tournament game at your place against the either 9 through 14. So they'll have an 8, just like the NCAA tournament. There'll be an 8-9 game, a 7-10 game, a 6-11, a 5-12, a 4-13, and a 3-14. And if you win that game, then you make the quarters, and that's one weekend, and then you'll get to wait about 6 days, and then you'll head down to Richmond, or over to Richmond, or in Fitz-Davidson, up to Richmond, and you get to play in the quarterfinals. So we'll have four quarterfinals on that Friday, March 3rd, the two semis on Saturday, March 4th, and the championship game on March the 5th, all at the Richmond Coliseum. And that will be a lot of fun, and I hope a bunch of you can come down and join us for that at some point the weekend. Make championship on Sunday, maybe take in that in the semis on Saturday. Hope you'll be able to join us. All right, friends, let's get started. High school football week 10, just ahead of us now. And since you've had a couple of days to study and pour over the latest VHSL standings, which, of course, are always available at RVASportsNetwork.com. The minute the Virginia High School League sends out the latest report, we first put it on Twitter, across our Twitter network, and then immediately we put it on our website. And then as soon as we possibly can, we get you analysis on our website, break it down for you as to who's up, who's down, who's in, who's out, who still has a chance, who's slipping, everything. So hope you've been able to join us at RVASportsNetwork.com to get that information. Join us again next week. The new numbers should come out on Monday, and as soon as they do, we will give you the best and most comprehensive analysis we possibly can to get you ready for the final Friday of the regular season and the final push to the playoffs, which begin on Veterans Day night, November the 11th. So here's how it looks right now. What we're going to do is we're going to talk Week 10 schedule. And as we talk Week 10 schedule, we'll talk about what's up with the teams. We begin with the fact that there are two games involving two teams in our NBC 12 RVA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll. Now, Matt Estridge will be live at Manchester on Friday night as number 7 Monacan ends their regular season on the road at number 5 Manchester. This game is humongous for both teams. Both teams are going to make the postseason. It is not a matter of I've got to win this game to make the playoffs. Manchester's going to make it in 6A South. Monacan's going to make it in 4A East, but it's going to be huge in terms of where they end up in the standings in their respective regions. First, we'll talk the home team. That's Manchester coming into this week. They are still the 2 seed in 6A South, conferences 3 and 4. In 6A South, they take their 4 conferences, split them into 2 each, and instead of having a 16-team tournament, they have 2 8-team brackets. And in the past, they have cross-bracketed after the second round, but we'll worry about that down the road. All we worry about right now are which of the 8 teams in conferences 3 and 4 that are going to be playing on Friday, the 11th of November. Manchester enters this week again, number 2 behind Colonial Forge at the top of this subregion. The important thing to note here is that Colonial Forge has a bye this week. Now, they start the week almost a full point ahead of Manchester. Now, just because you have a bye doesn't mean you don't pick up extra VHSL rider points. You do, because you get bonus points based on other teams' results. If a team that you have beaten in the regular season wins, you get 2 extra points. If a team that you lost to in the regular season wins, you get 1 extra point. So Colonial Forge is going to pick up some points. But Manchester, with a win over Monacan, would pick up, 22 points for the win. And then they would get 4 extra points because they're a 6A school playing a 4A school. So 2 classifications away, 2 times 2 is 4. And then they would get 16 points for Monacan's 8 wins. So just for winning, Manchester would pick up 42 points. And then Manchester will get points based on other teams as well. If LC Bird wins against Huguenot, they get 2 points. If Hermitage beats Glen Allen, they get 1 point because they lost to Hermitage. So it's a good possibility. Very good possibility that Manchester will retake the top spot with a week to go because Colonial Forge has a bye. But first things first, they got to take care of what's going on the field and don't worry about the ramifications in the region. Because I know Coach Hall and company, they realize, okay, we're in the postseason. What we want to do now is, number 1, stay healthy. Number 2, win some more games. So number 3, we can have as many home games as possible. That's what you think of. We run the numbers. We talk the numbers. We predict the numbers or project the numbers. And we do all of that. The coaches in the trenches, they don't care about what I'm talking about right now. All they're worried about is their next opponent, and that being Monacan. So for Manchester, this is a chance to get back on top in 6A South in this 8-team race and have home field advantage for a little while. Even if they lose, they're losing to what would become a 9-win Monacan team, and that would be 12 points, not 12 points for losing, it would be 10, I believe, for losing, and then it would be the classification differential, and then you'd get an additional 9 points. So, still a pretty good bounty, about as good of a bounty as you're going to get for losing a game. Would that be enough to overtake Colonial Forge? Possibility, but it also puts Colonial Forge in a much better position to retake the lead in the final week of the regular season when they get back out on the field next Friday, and Manchester may be dealing with a Cosby team that's playing for their life. Okay, now over on the other side, 4A East for Monacan. Here's what Monacan has to deal with coming in. They are still in the bottom 4 of 4A East conferences 19 and 20. Again, 2 8-team subregions split in the region. 19 and 20 are together. That's what we worry about. 17 and 18 are together down near the coast, and we'll deal with them later. We start the week with Monacan down by about 1 1/4 points to Louisa for the 4th and final home round first game position. Top 4 get a home game round 1. Bottom 4 have to travel round 1. If the playoffs started tonight, Monacan would go to Louisa. Now, Louisa is hosting Orange. Orange is in a dogfight of their own right now in the 5A North region trying to stay in the playoffs. They come in with a record of 5-3, and so Louisa will get some pretty nice points for that. But Monacan, if they can get a win to wrap up the regular season, they'd beat a 7-win team. They'd beat a 6A team, so there's 26 points for that. 7-win team, it would be 7 times 2 is 14. So there's 40 points right off the bat. For Louisa, they're only going to get 32 points for a win over Orange, and then it's a matter of how Louisa's prior opponents do and how Monacan's prior opponents do. So it's very possible that with a win on Friday night, Monacan could overtake Louisa and knock on the door to Chancellor, to be honest with you, for third. Chancellor has to deal with King George this week. And, of course, King George is coming up the upset loss to Cortland, which pretty much ended any hopes for Huguenot and Midlothian. Huguenot is mathematically alive, but they'd have to beat L.C. Byrd to stay that way. I think we're pretty certain that we know the eight teams that are going to be in 4A East. Right now, number one is Dinwiddie, half a point behind them, and second is Eastern View. Then behind them by nearly a point in third is Chancellor. Louisa just a slither behind them at 28.5, their fourth, and then a little over a point behind them in fifth at 27.22 is Monacan. Six-tenths of a point behind Monacan is Powhatan. They'll play Fluvanna on Friday night. King George is seventh, nearly 2 points plus behind Powhatan. And Cortland catching up to King George by beating them, excuse me, head-to-head, but still over a point behind here with 2 weeks to go. But, excuse me, it looks really that in 4A East, we know the eight teams. It's just a matter of what positioning they'll have, what seed is where, and who goes to whom, and all of that will be played out here in the final 2 weeks. But huge opportunity for Monacan. This is their final chance to really make a statement, pick up some big points, try to get into that top four, and be at home in round one. If they lose to Manchester, the door's not closed for them to host a home game in round one. What if King George beats Chancellor this week? You know, if that happens, that's good news for Monacan. If Orange can knock off Louisa this week, even if Monacan loses, that's good news for Monacan. So nothing will be settled until a week from Friday night, and Monacan will be in the strange position of probably being in street clothes at other games. A bunch of them get together and go watch another game. Probably that Manchester Cosby game. I don't know. Maybe another one. To determine where they are seating wise in 4A East. So, but they could really make a statement to have a first round home game with a win over Manchester. So that's the NBC 12 game of the week. Matt Estridge will be live at Manchester for NBC 12 News at 6. And of course, we'll be there broadcasting live during On the Sidelines Friday night at 11:15. Let's go through the schedule here for Friday night. All right, Petersburg is at number one Dinwiddie. Petersburg is still alive in 3A East, but are in desperate need of at least one more win to make sure that they stay in the postseason. It's going to be very hard to get it at Dinwiddie, as the Generals look to go to 9-0, and they are fighting tooth and nail with Eastern View for the number one seed in 4A East. Number two, Hermitage, is at Glen Allen. Hermitage begins tonight in 5A South, or I should say tomorrow night in 5A South, in that subregion of conferences 11 and 12 here in the Metro Richmond area. They are behind L.C. Byrd for number one, but they, Highland Springs, Douglas Freeman, all shaved into their lead. Last week it was 2 points for Byrd. Now it's under a point. Hermitage and Highland Springs tied for second at 29.875 behind L.C. Byrd, who's first at 30.625. And then three-tenths of a point behind Hermitage and Highland Springs in fourth is unbeaten Douglas Freeman at 29.5. Fifth place in 5A South is Verina. They're 3 points behind Douglas Freeman at 26.5. And so there's a pretty clear positioning of demarcation, so to speak, between the top four and the bottom four. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that a couple of positions might not change. What if Highland Springs lost to Patrick Henry and then lost to Verina? What if Douglas Freeman loses to Mills Godwin and then loses to Hermitage? And Verina wraps up with wins over Atlee and Highland Springs. Could Verina have enough room to catch up at the end and possibly overtake one of the teams and get a fourth seed and get a home game? It's still mathematically possible. But first of all, Verina's got to beat Highland Springs next week to do it. But they need to worry about Atlee first, because Atlee's going to come in absolutely desperate for a win to try to stay alive in 5A North. So Hermitage at Glen Allen, that's a disadvantage for the Panthers this week because they're playing a two-win team. Whereas the team they're tied with, Highland Springs, number four in our NBC 12 RBA Sports Network Big 12 High School Football Poll, welcomes in 7-1, number nine, Patrick Henry. Patriots looking for their first win in their first trip back to Highland Springs since 2002. Last time PH took the field at Kreider Stadium, it was November 22nd, 2002, and they were the underdogs against Highland Springs in the first round of the old Group AAA Division 5 playoff format, and Patrick Henry kicked a field goal in, I believe it was the final minute or minute and a half of that game, to upset Highland Springs 23-22. Now, I know that was 14 years ago, but Patrick Henry fans can take heart in knowing the Patriots can go to Kreider and win. This is a new group of Patriots, a different group of Patriots, but a young one, a hungry one, and so far this year a very successful one, and a win over Highland Springs would put 5A North on notice that Patrick Henry is for real if you knock off the defending state champions. So it's very simple. The top seed in 5A South Central is LC Bird, and they are number 3 currently in our poll. And they play Huguenot, at Huguenot, a 2-win team. With a win, okay, with a win, LC Bird would get 22 points for beating a 4A team, an extra 2 points for playing a 4A team when they're a 5A team, so one class differentiation, and then 4 points for the 2 Huguenot wins. So that's 28 points. If Highland Springs beats 7-1 Patrick Henry, Highland Springs gets 38 points right off the bat. They play a fellow 5A school, so no extra points there, but they get 24 for the win, and then 14 points for 2 points apiece for each of Patrick Henry's 7 victories. So that's 38 points. Hermitage, by beating a 2-win Glen Allen team with no differentiation, they're both 5A schools, would get 24 for the win and then a bonus 4 for the 2 Glen Allen wins, which means they'd only get 28 points. And then Douglas Freeman, who of course has Mills Godwin, if they win, they get 24 for beating a fellow 5A school, and then they get 8 points for the 4 Mills Godwin wins. So right off the bat, if everything holds to form and all 4 teams win on Friday night, LC Bird and Hermitage would only get 28 points. Highland Springs would get 38, and Douglas Freeman would get 32. So Douglas Freeman would actually catch up to Hermitage and shave more into LC Bird's lead. But then it's going to come down to other games. For example, LC Bird needs Monacan to beat Manchester. If Monacan beats Manchester, then LC Bird gets 2 points from a Monacan win. If Manchester beats Monacan, they get 1 point from a non-defeated opponent. If a team you lose to wins, you get a point. Now, if a team you beat loses, you get nothing. Okay? Nothing. Hermitage, on the other hand, is rooting for Manchester to beat Monacan because Hermitage doesn't play Monacan, and Hermitage beat Manchester. And so if Monacan wins, that's 2 points in the clear for Bird and nothing for Hermitage. If Manchester wins, Hermitage gets 2 points and LC Bird only gets 1. So further advantage to them. So see how the other games come into play? That's a 3-point possible swing right right there. Now, Highland Springs clearly has the advantage this week in terms of strength of schedule. If they win, there's a good possibility that they could catch or even possibly surpass LC Bird, again, depending upon those other scores from other games as we go into the final week of the regular season. But if all 4 of these teams win, we could see a serious reshuffling at the top of 5A South with a week to go. We could see Highland Springs and Bird neck and neck for 1, and it's possible that we could see Hermitage and Douglas Freeman neck and neck for 3rd and not far away from the other 2 teams. And, of course, Hermitage and Freeman play each other next week at William E. Long Stadium. Now, if let's say Atlee upsets Verina. If they do that, let's say about the only team then left after that, if Verina loses to Atlee. I don't think if Verina loses to Atlee and even they beat Highland Springs, I don't think there's enough for them to get into the top 4 unless, say, for example, Patrick Henry loses to, Highland Springs loses to Patrick Henry and then Verina beats Highland Springs, and then can they catch Highland Springs with 2 weeks to go over 3 points, 3.375? Hard to say. And then that brings us to our game of the week this week. And that is Henrico and Lee Davis. And suddenly we've got 2 teams here that are coming in pretty much with this. Here's how it looks. The winner of Friday night's game of the week here on WHAN Radio and the RVA Sports Network likely will have punched their ticket to the 5A South postseason. And I say likely because we have to run the numbers to make sure that the minimum finishes and the maximum number finish. And, you know, there you have enough room to where you couldn't fall any further than eighth, even if you lose next week, Henrico to Hanover or Lee Davis to Patrick Henry in the Tomato Bowl. But coming into this week, Lee Davis is sixth, 1.25 points behind Verona for fifth at 25.25, and Henrico's right behind them, literally, at 25.125. So just over a tenth of a point separates the Warriors from the Confederates. So winner here all but seals a game on the 11th of November. Most likely a road game, but a game. The loser here, probably going to have some serious work to do, and I say that because of the following. Right behind Henrico, about eight-tenths of a point behind them, is Metoaka. And Metoaka is at winless Colonial Heights this week. Now, obviously no bonus points if Metoaka beats Colonial Heights, but they'd get 20 points for the win and then four extra points because they're a 5A school beating a 3A school, two classes between them, so two times two is four. And then Metoaka would need other games, you know, to go certain ways. For example, they want Manchester to beat Monacan. Why? Because they don't play Monacan, but they do play Manchester, and if Manchester wins, you get 1 point from a non-defeated opponent. If Monacan beats Manchester, you get nothing for a team you play that loses. So Metoaka is rooting for Manchester on Friday night, as is Hermitage. Okay, see how all this works out? It all comes into play, how symbiotic the relationship is. Metoaka would overcome the loser of Lee Davis and Ryko, most likely, and move up at least into the 7 slot. Now, Deep Run begins the night 9th and a point behind Metoaka, and they play John Marshall. Now, not a lot there either. Only one win for John Marshall. Deep Run would get 20 points for the win, four extra points for the two-class differentiation, 5A to 3A, and then two more points for John Marshall's lone victory. So that's 26 points. But that's still 2 points more than Metoaka if they win. And for the loser of Lee Davis Henrico, if it is Henrico, they began the night 1.75 points ahead of Deep Run. But if they lose, you have 12 points for losing. Lee Davis would go to 7-2, so that would be 19 points because you get 1 point for each win of a non-defeated opponent. So Henrico would get 19 points, but Deep Run, on the other hand, would get 26 points, and so they would draw closer. Let me throw another monkey into this wrench. What if Mills Godwin knocks off Douglas Freeman? Now, Godwin gave Hermitage a scare for a while last week before falling 35-20, and I know Wesley Duggar's out for the year, but if you're not familiar with Godwin Freeman, it is by far one of the biggest and most heated rivalries in this area. It started literally right off the bat when Mills Godwin opened back in, 1979, 1980? So the teams have been playing each other now for a little over 35 years, and you talk to a Freeman grad and they'll tell you, if we go 1-9, the one win better be Godwin, and Godwin fans do the exact same thing. Obviously, that's not the case for either team. Freeman is playing to stay undefeated, to set up the showdown at home with Hermitage, and to try to get as close to the top of 5A South as possible. Now, they're going to make the playoffs. No doubt about that, but what Freeman doesn't want to do is lose to Godwin, lose to Hermitage, and fall into 5th or 6th, and suddenly after an 8-0 start, having to go on the road in the first round of the postseason. They want to host a first-round game. They want to host a second-round game. Well, you know, if they beat Godwin and they beat Hermitage, it's very possible that might happen because they might be able to play themselves into at least fighting position with LC Bird for a two-seed. If Highland Springs wins out, it's going to be hard to say. Highland Springs, would they get enough of a lead over Hermitage to where beating, let's say, a 6-3 Verona is okay when Hermitage beats a 9-0 Douglas Freeman if that happens? See, all of the different ramifications and possibilities are crazy. And then behind Mills Godwin in 11th and 12th, essentially Friday night, we have an elimination game as Meadowbrook goes to Prince George. Meadowbrook begins the night a little bit under a point and a half, a little over a point and a half behind 8th place Metoaka, and Prince George begins the night close to 2 points behind. And so the winner of this game will be still in the playoff conversation for next week. The loser of this game will not. So we will eliminate one team from playoff contention on Friday night down in Prince George. The loser, their season will effectively be done. If Mills Godwin loses to Douglas Freeman, it's going to put them in a very, very, very difficult position. They're going to need then for Hanover to upset Henrico or Colonial Heights this week to beat Metoica, something, or John Marshall to upset Deep Run, something along those lines. So that's everything in 5A South coming into this week. You see how crazy it is? And how unbelievably crazy. LC Birds at Huguenot, they get a win. There's no guarantee they'll stay number one. Because Highland Springs, if they get a win, they beat a 7-1 team in Patrick Henry and pick up a bevy of points. Glen Allen is the opponent for Hermitage. That hurts them. Douglas Freeman has to contend with Mills Godwin just to stay unbeaten and to play their arch rival. So they better not be looking ahead at playing Hermitage next week when they've got to go to Axel Stadium. And you know the Eagle fans are going to be going crazy that night because it is a must-win for Godwin to have any hope, any hope of a postseason bid to play for the following week. Now, we talked about Patrick Henry and Highland Springs. They entered this week in 5A North, the number 8 seed. They moved up one notch, is what we thought they would do when we talked to you last Friday night here on the podcast, and we were correct on that. They are currently 3/4 of a point behind 7th place Broad Run, less than a point behind number 6, North Stafford, and then there's a full point between them and 6th and Albemarle, who is in 5th. So right now, unless there are some upsets in the top of the bracket in 5A North, which, by the way, is a top 16 all-in tournament, all four conferences, there are no sub-regions and, you know, things like that. Patrick Henry, they really need to win out. They need to beat Highland Springs, and then they need to beat Lee Davis in order to assure themselves. If they beat both of them, they will have a home game in round one, and they will likely rise in the rankings. If they split, they lose to Highland Springs and beat Lee Davis, then it's going to be really up to a lot of what happens to the other teams in the region. What happens to Broad Run just ahead of them. You know, North Stafford, who is less than a point ahead of them, they've got to go to Massaponics this week. And, of course, Massaponics is third in the region at 30.5 points. Brook Point, still unbeaten, they're first at 32.75. They are the top-ranked team in all of 5A. If you put 5A North and 5A South together, they've got the best Rider point total of all at 32.75. They play at Potomac this week. Potomac is the 16th and final team in right now. And they've got Robert E. Lee of Springfield and Jeb Stewart High School and George Marshall all breathing down their neck within 6/10 of a point for that 16th and final spot. And then my eye goes up just a hair, and there's Atlee sitting in 14th. Now, Atlee's loss last week to Patrick Henry didn't hurt them as much as it could have, simply because so many teams around them lost. Stafford, Potomac, Mountain View, and others. And so they ended up staying in 14th almost by default. But what did happen was the gap between them and the 13th place team widened. And it is now almost a 2-point margin. Falls Church in 13th at 24.875. And Atlee in 14th at 23.0. And then again, Atlee has Stafford a 1/4 point behind them, Potomac 7/10 of a point behind them, and then a little over a point behind them, Robert E. Lee Springfield, Jeb Stewart. So an Atlee win at Verina is almost a must win, because Atlee does not want to be 3-6 getting ready to play a winless Armstrong team in the final week of the regular season. There may simply not be enough points. Stafford beats Mountain View and Atlee loses to Verina, Stafford will jump over Atlee without a problem. If Atlee loses, and let's say George Marshall and Jeb Stewart are going to play each other, one of them's going to win, and whoever that winner is, they could come knocking to Atlee. And so if Potomac behind them in 16th loses to number 1 Brook Point, then you're looking at a situation to where Atlee may be the 16th seed, which is the final playoff berth, with 1 week to go, but they'll play Armstrong, they'll win. Well, they'll be heavily favored, absolutely, but you get no bonus points for beating a winless team. You'll just get 20 for beating a 3A school, and then the 4 points for the differentiation between 5A and 3A, 2 points per classification. But nothing more than that. You don't get, you know, 8 extra points for Armstrong having 4 wins, because they don't have 4 wins. And so that would be a very uncomfortable place for Atlee to be. Because so many teams down there at the bottom of the rankings in 5A North lost last week, you've got, listen to this, you've got Atlee 3-5, Stafford 3-5, Potomac 3-5, Lee of Springfield 3-5, Stewart 4-4, Marshall 3-5, and Mountain View's not necessarily out of things. They've got a long way to go, but they're 2-6 and still in the postseason race. So what we're saying is that this year it's possible for a 4-6 team to sneak into the postseason. Last year it was stronger in the bottom of that region, and that's why a 4-6 Patrick Henry team missed the postseason, finishing, I believe, 17th, just outside of the top 16. We may have a 4-6 team as the 16 seed. I have a hard time believing we're going to have 2 4-6 teams in there. And I really don't think we're going to have a 3-7 team in there. But we'll find out. Atlee could win against Verona on Friday night, and that would cure a lot of what ails them. That would put them in a much better position. And then it would take, you know, Potomac upsetting undefeated Brook Point to cause Atlee to still have concern and angst as they get set for Armstrong next week. So Patrick Henry is still trying to make sure they're in the top 8 so they can host a postseason game, which they haven't done since 2001. Atlee is just trying to stay alive in the postseason. That's 5A North. We mentioned 4A East earlier briefly. Let's continue there real quick for the games for this week. We mentioned Dinwiddie has Petersburg. Eastern View has Fauquier. Fauquier has a couple of more wins. They're 4-4. Petersburg's 2-6. And so depending upon the results of other games, Eastern View could shave into this half-point lead that Dinwiddie has for the top spot in this 8-team subregion of conferences 19 and 20. Dinwiddie at 30 points even, Eastern View at 29.5, and then nearly a point behind them in third is Chancellor. Now, Chancellor could pick up some good points by beating King George, who's 7th, but they're 6-2. Weak schedule for King George is why their 6-2 puts them 7th in the region, and Chancellor's 6-2 puts them 3rd. Good strength of schedule, because Chancellor is in 3rd with 6-2 mark, even though Louisa's 7-1 and Monacan's 8-1. They are still ahead of them. And Monacan's disadvantage is after they play Manchester this week, they're done. So everybody else in this top eight here have a game in hand. And we're pretty sure that these are the 8 teams that are going to make it. Dinwiddie, Eastern View, Chancellor, Louisa, Monacan, Powhatan, King George, and Cortland. Powhatan, by the way, at Fluvanna, favored to win that one, and they need that win to go to 7-2 and keep their hopes up for a first-round home game, as they'll look ahead and hope that, you know, King George upsets Chancellor and Orange can knock off Louisa. So Dinwiddie still does not have the number one seed in hand, not even close. They could be fighting for it when they play Meadowbrook in the regular season finale on the road next week. Hopewell, last 2 weeks, man, over in 3A East, not only have they found different players to contribute to get them wins on the field, but they've also watched their main rival, Brentsville District, lose 2 in a row. And now Hopewell gets set to play Thomas Dale at home on Friday. And if they could get a win here over Thomas Dale, I don't think it really matters what Brentsville does with Liberty Buellton this week. Huge bonus points for Hopewell here. They currently lead by 1.8 points over Brentsville. A win against Thomas Dale, and Hopewell would take a huge step to clinching the number one seed. Now, I don't think they'd clinch it, but they'd come awful close. They easily put themselves in a position to where, with a win over Prince George the following Friday night, they could get that one seed in 3A East and have at least two home games, first, second round, before we worry about the other 8-team subregion and all that good stuff. Below Brentsville is James Monroe, then William Monroe. Petersburg is still 5th, almost by default. They are a tenth of a point ahead of Thomas Jefferson. And, of course, remember, Thomas Jefferson only plays 9 games, so that when we get to the final numbers next Friday night, their numbers will be divided by 9, where everybody else's will be divided by 10. And TJ's got to go to Tucker this week. Tucker coming off their first win over John Marshall, and they will be ripe to try to get a big win at home before they have senior night against their one of their biggest rivals. And if you don't know, Glen Allen, J.R. Tucker became a rivalry really fast. I know some of the ins and outs of it because my daughter was at Glen Allen at the time. Let's just say the Jaguars and the Tigers don't particularly care for each other. So even though that game will have no playoff ramifications whatsoever, it should be a wild night for that regular season finale next week, and that is senior night for J.R. Tucker on November 4th. Culpeper County is just below T.J. in 7th, and then just below them in 8th is George Wythe. But they're looking behind them because all of a sudden here comes Skyline. They're 2-6. They play Sharando this week, and if they could get a victory, they could easily be knocking on the door of not only 8th place George Wythe, but 7th place Culpeper, and shave seriously into the margins of number 6 TJ and number 5 Petersburg. So the only team in 3A East that we know is going to make the playoffs is Hopewell. The question will be whether they'll be the number 1 seed. We know they'll be a top 2 seed, at worst a 3 seed, and that's if for some reason they fall apart and lose these next two games and other teams win. So you put all that together, and we know Hopewell's going to be in the postseason. The question is where, and now they're fighting and looking to try to get a number one seed. In 2A East, Goochland finally got a little bit of separation, just a quarter of a point over Stewart's Draft, but they got Bluestone on the road this week. That's their season finale. Goochland has a bye week next week, and again, since they played Fork Union early in the year, the Bulldogs' final numbers will be divided by 9 as well, because games against VISAA opponents do not count. So Stewart's Draft literally has a game in hand because of that. They take on Luray this week, trying to retake the top spot. And not out of the realm of possibility of taking over the top spot, should Goochland and Stewart's Draft both stumble, Central Woodstock begins 1 point behind number one Goochland in third place. Then you go another point down to Clark County in fourth, another point down to East Rockingham in fifth. So I think, unless there's an upset somewhere up top, that we know Goochland, Stewart's Draft, Central Woodstock will likely be at the top three. The question is in what order. Tip of the cap to King William. This winning streak they're on right now, at one point a few weeks ago, they weren't even in the top 16. Now they are the 10 seed, and they are only 1 point out of the 8 seed, which of course means if you're an 8 seed, you get a home game in round one, and they take on West Point this week, and West Point is currently tied for 15th in 1A East, with Northampton at 14 points, and then just 0.125 points behind them in 17th. Trying to make the playoffs is Charles City. Back to 2A real quick. Don't want to forget Amelia. They are currently just under a half a point behind both Page County and Brunswick for the 16th and final berth in 2A East. It's an all-in conference thing, all 16 teams, all four conferences. Page County and Brunswick begin the evening at 15 and three-quarter points. Amelia is at 15.375, so they need a win over Central Lunenburg. And we haven't talked yet this year, and we need to, about the VISAA. Their rankings are out as well. In Division I, Flint Hill currently has a pretty good lead over Benedictine after Benedictine's loss to Woodbury Forest last week, but there's no shame in that. Everybody's losing to Woodbury Forest lately. They are not participating in the postseason, and let me tell you, if they were, they would be the odds-on favorite to win it. So Benedictine second. Just behind them in third is Collegiate after their nice win last week. St. Christopher's is fourth. Just behind Collegiate is St. Christopher's in fourth, is what I'm trying to say. And then in fifth on the outside looking in is Norfolk Academy. Now here are their ratings points, okay? Norfolk Academy, 9.25. St. Christopher's, 9.71. Collegiate, 10 even. Benedictine, 10.14. So in other words, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 teams fighting for 1, 2, 3 spots within a point of each other. This week, Collegiate is at Norfolk Academy. Huge game for Collegiate, and that, of course, is an afternoon game. It'll kick off at 3:30. If Collegiate can get the win on the road, they could come that would be major in terms of trying to clinch a postseason bid. They wouldn't clinch it, but they would come doggone close. Then Saturday, Benedictine's at Fork Union, and St. Christopher's has to play Woodbury Forest. And so Norfolk Academy win, and they could pop into the top four and by beating Collegiate, and then St. Christopher's loses to Woodbury Forest, which one of the two, Collegiate, St. Christopher's, would be the four seed with a week to go before, guess who plays each other? St. Christopher's and Collegiate in their annual battle this year at Grover Jones Field on the campus of the Collegiate School. Benedictine wraps up their regular season a week from Saturday at home to Avalon. They'd have to lose two in a row to miss the playoffs. They get one more win and they should be in. We'd have nobody in the Richmond area in Division Two. Down to Division Three, Richmond Christian School at 3-3 currently has the fourth and final playoff position and looks pretty good for it because there's a huge drop-off between them and fourth and Broadwater Academy in fifth. Richmond Christian School's rating is 5.83. Broadwater has a 2 rating, and below them at 2-5 is Blessed Sacrament Huguenot, and they have a 1.86 rating. So that's Division III in VISAA. So, huge games this week. Essentially, you've got Atlee and Verina, number 12 Verina, trying to draw closer to getting their first playoff bid in 3 years. If Atlee loses, they're going to have other people lose in 5A North to have a prayer of making the postseason, even with a win next week over Armstrong. Meadowbrook, Prince George is essentially an elimination game in 5A South Central. The winner will keep their heartbeat beating, and the loser will start working towards 2017. So that essentially is what we're looking at for that game this week. Again, NBC 12's game of the week, Matt Estridge live at Manchester is number 5. Manchester takes on number 7. Monacan, and he'll be broadcasting from there on NBC 12 News at 6, and of course on the sidelines at 11:15. Number 9, Patrick Henry at number 4, Highland Springs. Big battle of 7-1 teams. Wish my buddy Evan Hughes at Patriot Talk Live all the best, as he'll, of course, have that game on his Patriot Talk Network, I believe is what it is called officially, but Patriot Talk Live is the original channel. Good luck to you, Evan, on the call of that broadcast on Friday night. We'll be in Mechanicsville, and it will be Henrico and number 11 Lee Davis. The winner will, the winner of this game will likely be able to punch their ticket into the postseason, especially if it is Henrico, because they'll be heavily favored against Hanover the following week. If Henrico loses and some other teams win, then suddenly they have to make sure they beat Hanover to get into the postseason. And they're on a 2-game losing streak right now. They want to stop that, but they got to do it in Mechanicsville against a Lee Davis team that honestly should have beat them at Henrico last year, just made a couple of key mistakes, and it cost them the victory. Lee Davis with a win would be 7-2 going into the 58th Tomato Bowl. So our coverage of Henrico Lee Davis begins Friday at 6:30 on WHAN 102.9 FM. 14:30 a.m. will be online on the RVA Sports Network. Links available at all of our websites, rvasportsnetwork.com, henricocountysports.net, hanovercountysports.net, chesterfieldcountysports.net, and, of course, on your mobile device, download the TuneIn Radio app if you haven't done so already, and hit up Radial, R-A-D-I-A-L-L. That's R-A-D-I-A-L-L. That is WHAN's 24-hour online music channel. And on Friday nights, we take it over for the game of the week. So just if you don't have the app, go to the Apple Store or Google Play, download TuneIn, and then once you set it up on your phone or your tablet or whatever, you go to type in the search engine Radial, R-A-D-I-A-L-L. Once it comes up, just press it, save it to your favorites, and then just every Friday night, TuneIn, favorites, Radial. 3 clicks with your finger or your thumb, and you've got the game of the week in your hand wherever you may be. Quickly, a couple of teams we didn't talk about in 6A South, and that's Cosby and James River. Cosby will host George Wythe, and for them, obviously, they will be favored. James River, a little trickier. They've got Clover Hill, and I know Clover Hill only has one win, but it will be, I think, a little more difficult to beat Clover Hill than it will be to beat George Wythe. And so James River starts the night tied for fifth in that 8-team subregion of conferences 3-4 at 28.125 points with Freedom Prince William, who has to play Woodbridge on the road. And then big drop-off because of James River's win over Cosby. Cosby now in eighth at 25.5 points. Lurking below them, a point and a half behind, is Forest Park, excuse me, who play Garfield this week, at 24 points. And essentially, by running the numbers, it looks like there's only nine teams left for eight spots, and Cosby is trying to fend off Forest Park, is basically what they're trying to do. But, of course, Cosby's got Manchester next week to deal with. So get a win over George Wythe, stay in that top eight, and then see what happens the next week. James River wants to get away from Clover Hill with a win, so that they can get ready for LC Byrd next week. And, of course, Byrd could be playing for number one seed. And so there's going to be tons of different types of motivations for all of these teams when we get to next Friday. But first, let's enjoy this Friday, shall we? Can't wait to bring you the game of the week, Henrico at Lee Davis. Now, some other news before we wrap things up on this edition of the podcast, and there's been tons of news going on. Want to congratulate Cosby in Conference 3 for winning the Field Hockey Tournament Championship. They were down 2-0 at halftime to James River in the semifinals. But they slowly but surely and steadily began to take advantage of that second half and take control. And they scored their last three goals, I think, in the final 17 minutes. The game winner coming very late. And Cosby then punched their ticket to the 6A South Regionals. They took on Clover Hill in the championship on a Wednesday night and got the victory 2-1. So congratulations to the Titans for winning in Conference 3. Now, that means, I'm trying to put up something here real quick, Monday's 6A South Region first-round games, which ostensibly I believe are quarterfinals, if memory serves me correctly, because they won the tournament, Cosby will host, and Clover Hill will go on the road, and it'll be Clover Hill heading to Riverbend on Monday. They won the Conference 4 championship. Cosby is going to host Colonial Forge, who was the Conference 4 runner-up. Game there for Cosby. It might be at River City Sportsplex. Don't have it official yet. As soon as we get official, the location and the time, we'll pass it along. But looks like it'll be Monday for both Clover Hill at River Bend and Cosby hosting Colonial Forge. Congratulations to Prince George. They win the Conference 12 championship with a shutout win over Metoica Wednesday night. Both teams advance on into the 5A South Region tournament next week. We'll know later tonight as we record this who the teams will play, because Deep Run and Douglas Freeman play the Conference 11 championship game at 6 p.m., weather permitting, this evening as we record on this Thursday. The winner will get Metoica in the regional quarterfinals early next week, and the loser will have to take on Prince George. So it's either going to be Deep Run, Metoica, Prince George, Douglas Freeman, or it's going to be Douglas Freeman, Metoica, Deep Run, Prince George. And Deep Run and Prince George have already played once this year. A phenomenal overtime affair won by Deep Run at Prince George in a game we were there live tweeting for you on the RVA Sportsnet and on Henrico Sports. 3-2 was the final in that game. So 5A South Region warming up. Over in 4A East, congratulations to Midlothian with their Conference 20 championship. And a phenomenal battle, and got to tip the cap to Powhatan. They did a fantastic job. It was nothing-nothing at the half, nothing-nothing midway through the second half. Midlothian finally found a way to score, get the 1-0 lead, and then not too long later, Powhatan finds themselves on a 3-on-1 fast break. Bigham scores the tying goal. It's 1-1. We go to overtime. And my buddy Billy Fellin over at Powhatan today was at the game with me, and we were standing there watching at sidelines and just going, man, like, man, these two teams are just going all out. There's nobody's holding back. There's no conservatism. When you play 7-on-7 field hockey instead of 11-on-11, it's a totally different feel. If you watch the National Hockey League, it's like 4-on-4 NHL hockey. It's one of the reasons why they went to that for the overtime period, to try to get more scoring to avoid shootouts. And I have yet to be at a shootout matchup this year. Usually by now, I've seen at least one, maybe two shootouts in field hockey. I've not seen any because 7-on-7 overtime. And when you have two teams that just go all in, and they're both aggressive, trying to get the ball, trying to get the advantage so they can score and wrap it up. Well, you know what happens in that case. Inevitably, somebody's going to overrun a ball. Somebody's going to make a mistake. A pass is going to go over somebody's stick, and it's going to go to the other team. They're going to get the fast break, and they're going to score and win. And that's to a point what happened with Midlothian getting the victory. But both Midlothian and Powhatan should represent 4A East very well from the Richmond area. They'll start their tournament next week, and we don't have the opponents for them yet, but as soon as we do, we're going to redo Tournament Central at rvasportsnetwork.com for field hockey regional action and volleyball tournament action at the conference level, which begins on Saturday for at least Conference 11 and Conference 16. Speaking of 16, tip of the cap to Patrick Henry in field hockey. Got their first win. They've been trying so long to beat Atlee, and what a time to do it. Aiden Rossman's backhander with a minute 42 to go in regulation, and PH upsets Atlee at Atlee 2-1 on a Monday night to clinch a 5A North region bid. They got to go to Albemarle last night for the Conference 16 championship, playing in that game for the very first time in school history. We were there. They fell short 3-0, but the Patriot Nation should be very proud of this group of Patriots. That's for sure. They will host a first-round game in the 5A North region tournament Monday night against Wakefield. Atlee bounced back, won the third-place game Wednesday night over Orange, 1-0 to clinch a regional berth. It's a 12-team tournament in 5A North, and the third seed in conference gets a bid. And Atlee will go up to Alexandria Monday to take on Thomas Edison in first-round action. Still a couple more championship games to come down in the 3A, and Maggie Walker's got to play tonight, being Thursday. And so we'll get those results up as we get them, and then we'll get you ready for next week with Tournament Central for field hockey regionals and volleyball conferences. And speaking of which, congratulations to Douglas Freeman men's volleyball for clinching the number one seed in Conference 11. And kudos to J.R. Tucker for getting into the tournament. They clinched the sixth and final seed with a win with Mills Godwin's, by virtue of Godwin's win over Hermitage on Wednesday night. We'll have J.R. Tucker over at Lee Davis on Saturday. Saturday is a quadruple header at Lee Davis High School. The girls' quarterfinals are at 10 a.m. and noon. The boys' quarterfinals are at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., and we hope to be there for at least part of the action before we need to go officiate a wedding. Downtown Richmond late Saturday afternoon. Yes, I do weddings. All right. So game of the week, Friday night, Henrico Lee Davis. How it affects the postseason race, how all these games affect the postseason race. Holy cow, holy cow. All you need to do is this. Once you finish watching On the Sidelines with Mark and Matt on Friday night after your game, be patient with me for about an hour. And by 12:30 or so, we hope to have the next edition of Central Region Now up and posted. Across our Twitter network, we'll send links, and of course, you can always find Central Region Now, the latest edition, at the top of the page on all four of our websites, including rvasportsnetwork.com. There's more to talk about, but we don't have time. We're done, so we got to get out of here. Rob Witham saying thanks for being with us for this edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network, and is presented to you, of course, solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Or maybe to, you know, help your baby go to sleep at night. I don't know. Any other use of the podcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC, strictly prohibited. Hey, we've had some big announcements for our basketball game of the week broadcast schedule. Henrico Holiday Hoops is back. The Southerner Classic Championship games this year from Lee Davis. Last year we did the first round. This year we're doing the girls and boys finals on December 30th. And we have a lot more announcements still to come. Our broadcast schedule always updated on all of our websites. Look on the right-hand side of the page, rvasportsnetwork.com, hanovercountysports.net, henricocountysports.net, chesterfieldcountysports.net. Find the schedule right there. Talk to you Friday night on the game of the week.